Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Amelia, and I'm from Hudson High School.
And we're here every week talking about books.
Books we love, books we hate.
Books we're reading.
Mm-hmm.
Bookish things, all that good stuff. And today we're going to talk about the recently awarded books that won Youth Media Awards from the American Library Association. So first up, we have the John Newbery Medal for the most outstanding contribution to children's literature. So it's one of their biggest awards.
Ooh.
And they gave out two honors. One is The Night Diary by Veera Hiranandani. There was also an honor for The Book of Boy by Catherine Gilbert Murdoch. And then the winner was Mercy Suarez Changes Gears by Meg Medina, who we've read and talked about, not that book, but other books by Meg Medina on the show.
Yeah.
She wrote Yaki Delgado Wants to Kick Your Ass,
mm-hmm.
which was a Battle of the Books book.
That's right.
And then I read Burn, Baby, Burn, which I really liked by her.
Ooh.
So I'm excited to read that one. It's been on my list. And also The Night Diary I talked about on Bound by Books as well. And Veera Hiranandani is coming to the book festival this year. So
congrats
to her, and congrats to us that we get to meet a Newbery Honor winner.
We love the book festival.
Yes.
The next one is the Randolph Kaltka Medal for the most distinguished American picture book for children. And we love picture books here, so.
Yes.
It has four honors. The honors are Alma and How She Got Her Name by Juana Martinez Neal, A Big Mooncake for a Little Star by Grace Lynn, The Rough Patch by Brian Lies. Or Lise, maybe? I think so. I don't know. Thank You, Omu by Ogi Mora. And the winner was Hello, Lighthouse by Sophie Blackall. Something like that.
Yeah. And I've read picture books, and they're all fabulous. I was very excited by this list. I'm sure there could have been others in there, too, that I would have been equally excited by. But I know in this list, actually, The Rough Patch by Brian, I think it's Lise, but I'm not sure. he's actually coming to the book fest this year as well.
Ooh.
And he had another book out this year that I also really loved called Gotta Get to Bear's House or something like that.
Hmm.
It was really sweet, but I loved all of these Caldecott winning picture books. So I'm not surprised that they were honored. Wonderful. The next category of awards is the Coretta Scott King Book Awards, recognizing African-American authors and illustrators of outstanding books for children and young adults. And there were three author honors. One is Kekla Magoon for The Season of Styx Malone, which I talked about on the show recently.
Mm-hmm.
Another is Varian Johnson for The Parker Inheritance. And Lisa Klein Ransom for Finding Langston. And I don't know if she's coming to the Book Fest this year. I hope she is. She's a frequent participant in the Book Fest and lives in the Hudson Valley. So congrats to Lisa.
Ooh.
And the author winner was Claire Hartfield for A Few Red Drops, The Chicago Race Riot of 1919, which I haven't read. And so I look forward to reading that one.
It sounds historical. I like historical stuff.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's a nonfiction or a historic fiction.
Oh.
I assume it's a nonfiction title, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, it sounds like a nonfiction title.
I know it's definitely based on history, but I don't know if it's a fictional narrative around a time in history or not.
Yeah.
We'll see. And then they also give out awards for illustrators. So the honors for that category were R. Gregory Christie for Memphis, Martin and the Mountaintop by Alice Faye Duncan, Frank Morrison for Let the Children March by Monica Clark Robinson, Laura Freeman for Hidden Figures by Margot Lee Shetterly, and the winner was Ekwa Holmes for The Stuff of Stars by Marion Dane Bauer, which is a beautiful book.
Ooh.
They're all beautiful, but I'm not surprised by that winner at all. And then the other Coretta Scott King Award that I'll mention is the John Steptoe New Talent Award, and they give one award to an author and one to an illustrator. And the author winner is Tiffany D. Jackson for Monday's Not Coming, and the illustrator winner also won a Caldecott honor, is Oja Mora for Thank You, Omo, which is a very beautiful book.
Ooh.
So now we'll skip to the Michael L. Prince Award for Excellence in Literature Written for Young Adults.
There are three honors for this one. The honors are I, Claudia by Mary McCoy, A Heart and a Body in the World by Deb Kelletti, Damsel by Alana K. Arnold, and the winner was The Poet X by Elizabeth Acevedo. I almost said that was avocado. I would have, oh my gosh.
Delicious.
That's not her last name.
Acevedo, yeah.
Elizabeth Acevedo.
And that book actually is in other categories as well. It got several honors this year.
Oh.
And it's supposed to be great. It's been on my reading list for a long time, and I keep putting it off. So now I have to dive in and read it now that it's won the big Michael L. Prince Award, which is like the big teen book award for young adult literature. And the other ones I've heard of, but I've never read. I've heard great things about A Heart in the Body of the World by Deb Colletti from people who have read it.
Ooh.
The other two, I haven't talked with people that have read it, but I've read good reviews of it. So have to check those out. Next up, we have the Schneider Family Book Award for books that embody an artistic expression of the disability experience. The Picture Book Honor, so they have categories for picture book, middle grade, and teen.
Oh, I see.
And the Picture Book Honor was The Remember Balloons by Jesse Oliveros with illustrations by Dana Wolfe-Cote. And the Picture Book winner was Rescue and Jessica, A Life-Changing Friendship by Jessica Kensky and Patrick Downs. It's the true story of Jessica Kensky, who was in the Boston Marathon when there was the bombing, and it's about her recovery after and her relationship with a dog who is her service animal. So it sounds very good. For the middle grade honor, there's The Collectors by Jacqueline West, and the middle grade winner is The Truth as Told by Mason Buttle by Leslie Connor, which I've heard is excellent, but have not read. And then the teen honor was Don't Call Me Crazy, 33 Voices Start the Conversation About Mental Health, edited by Kelly Jensen. And the winner is Anger is a Gift by Mark Oshiro.
And this next thing is the Alex Awards for the 10 best adult books that appeal to teen audiences. Oh, and these are all awards. I don't think these have any honor lists. So
yeah, they just pick. I mean, they're 10 winners, basically, because it's a list of 10.
So these 10 books won the award. The Black God's Drums by P. Jelly Clark. The Book of Essie by Megan McLean Weir. Circa, I think
Circe.
Circe, okay. I love Greek mythology. I should have known that. Circe by Madeline Miller. Educated by Tara Westover. The Girl Who Smiled Beads by Clementine Wamaria and Elizabeth Whale. Green by Sam Graham Felsen. Home After Dark by David Small. How Long Till Black Future Month by N.K. Jemison. Lawn Boy by Jonathan Evison. Spinning Silver by Naomi Novik.
Awesome. This category is fun for me because I sometimes read adult fiction, even though I have a youth radio show. I like to read adult fiction as well. And it's always interesting reading it and deciding if it's appropriate to talk about on the show. And actually, one that I did talk about on the show was Educated by Tara Westover, which made the list, which is a really wonderful memoir that I highly suggest for teens and adults.
There's a weird, like, very wobbly, very blurry line between, like, teen and adult fiction a lot. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of Sam Miller's books can appeal to both adults and teens.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to think a lot about whether those are appropriate to talk about on the radio.
Yeah, it's interesting. I feel like there's sometimes books that are teen books that if they were adult books, I'd be hesitant to suggest to a teen.
Right?
But as a teen book, I'm fine suggesting it to a teen.
I think Sam Miller said himself one day on this radio show that his second book, which is Blackfish City, mm-hmm. had like more questionable material in it than his adult-aimed book, which was The Art of Starving. I think that was what
he said. Oh, that's reversed.
Or did I
The Art of Starving is the teen book.
The Art of Starving is the teen book? Okay, that makes a lot
more
sense.
But I agree with
sense.
That on it.
You said it in one way. You said it about one of the books.
Yeah. And I've heard of I haven't heard of all of these, but Circe has certainly received a lot of attention this year. It's a very popular book. How Long Till Black Future Month by N.K. Jemison, I believe, is a book of short stories, and she's a really popular adult fantasy author.
Ooh.
And then Spinning Silver by Naomi Novik, I think is the second book in a series, but it might be a standalone. But she does fantasy books as well, which
like
might
fantasy.
Be up your alley.
Ooh, I like fantasy.
Quickly, a couple other awards. We have the Children's Literature Legacy Award, which honors an author or illustrator whose books published in the United States have made over a period of years a substantial and lasting contribution to literature for children. And the winner this year was Walter Dean Myers, who came to the book festival maybe 5 years ago He was one of the key guests that year. He sadly passed away since then, but he certainly is a popular author and has written so many books that are loved by teens. There's also the Margaret A. Edwards Award for Lifetime Achievement in Writing for Young Adults, which the winner is M.T. Anderson, which I believe we had a book in the battle once by him, Feed. Were you part of the battle for that?
I think so.
It's futuristic, and they have a feed within their heads, basically, where they get constant stimulation from the news and all this other stuff.
I don't remember. I don't either didn't read it or I wasn't there.
One of those options. And then every year there's a Mayhill Arbuthnot Honor Lecture Award, which recognizes an author, critic, librarian, historian, or teacher of children's literature who then presents a lecture at a winning host site. And this year's winner is Neil Gaiman, who is also a somewhat local author. He lives in the Hudson Valley at least part of the time, although he's all over the world doing his various gigs. But he's an amazing author and should be an interesting talk.
Yeah.
And I'll do the next award, too, because it's one of... It's one that I really like. The Mildred L. Batchelder Award for an outstanding children's book originally published in a language other than English in a country other than the United States and subsequently translated into English for publication in the United States.
That description.
So it's a funny description, but I find that translated works are often very interesting. So I like this category. And there were several honors. One is Run for Your Life by Silvana Gandolfi. There's also an honor for My Beijing for Stories of Everyday Wonder by Ni Jun. Edison, The Mystery of the Missing Mouse Treasure by Torben Kuhlman. Jerome by Heart by Thomas Scotto, which is illustrated by Olivier Talek. And the winner was The Fox on the Swing by Evelina Dasiut, illustrated by Osra Q. Delight.
That is cool.
The next category is actually really up my alley too, but I'll let you take this one.
The Odyssey Award for Best Audiobook Produced for Children and or Young Adults Available in English in the United States. The four honors were... Du Ist Tag by Carson Ellis. I think that's how you say that.
Du Ist Tag.
Esquivel, Space Age Sound Artist by Susan Wood. The Parker Inheritance by Varian Johnson. The Poet X by Elizabeth Acevedo. And the winner was Sadie by Courtney Summers.
I find this category interesting because two of the books that received honors are picture books. So they're presumably very short audiobooks.
That's interesting.
But I'm curious to hear Do His Talk because it's a book that is all told in a made-up language. So Do His Talk is one of the things that they say in the book. It's a really wonderful book.
Okay. It wasn't just another language I was butchering. I'm glad.
No, it's a made-up language. But it's an interesting book, and I'm curious to hear it on audio. But also Sadie and The Poet X and The Parker Inheritance have all been on my to-read list, and Sadie and The Poet X I have holds on at the moment for the audiobook. So we'll get to listen to those sometime soon. The next category is the Pura Beltpre Awards, honoring Latino writers and illustrators whose children's book best portray, affirm, and celebrate the Latino cultural experience. And they're named after Pura Beltpre, who is a storyteller and librarian, who I actually just read a really cool picture book about. And they give author and illustrator awards. So for the author awards, the honor was for David Bowles for They Call Me Guerrero, a Border Kid's Poems. And the author winner was Elizabeth Acevedo for The Poet X.
See,
I told you, she cleans up these awards. For illustrator awards, there were two honors. One was for Jose Ramirez for When Angels Sing, the story of rock legend Carlos Santana by Michael Mahin. And another honor for Leo Espinosa for Island Born by Juno Diaz. And then the illustrator winner was Yuyi Morales for Dreamers, which she also wrote.
Ooh. So the Robert F. Sibert Informational Book Award for the most distinguished informational book for children. It has five honors, I believe, if I'm counting that right. So When Angels Sing by Michael Mahin, We Are Grateful by Tracy Sorrell, The Unwanted Stories of the Syrian Refugees by Don Brown, Spooked by Gail Jarrow, Camp Panda by Catherine Thamesh, and the winner was The Girl Who Drew Butterflies, How Maria Marion's Art Changed Science by Joyce Sidman.
I love kids' informational books. It's such a nice way to learn a bit of information without having to read a whole huge book on it.
Huge, thick books about animals, and I still have them somewhere, but they're like falling apart, so I wouldn't bring them here.
Well, maybe you should check out Camp Panda, one of the honor books, if you like animal books.
I love animals.
I love Spooked is about the War of the Worlds broadcast.
that's awesome that they made a children's informational book about that.
Yeah.
So many people lost their minds when they heard that. I've heard that story. Yeah, it's I love a cool story. That story.
And I've read We Are Grateful by Tracy Sorrell, which is sort of a nice alternative for a Thanksgiving story because it's not really about the Thanksgiving celebration, like the one. It's about how they give thanks throughout the year.
Oh, and that's cool.
It's very nice.
That's good, especially since once you get to AP US History, that whole story is kind of crushed for you.
Yeah. Wah, wah. So next up is the Stonewall Book Award, given annually to English language children's and young adult books of exceptional merit relating to the gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender experience.
There has were two honors,
two
and, two
honors and two winners. This was the only tie in the award ceremony for Ooh. Winner. So one of the honors is Picture Us in the Light by Kelly Loy Gilbert. And the other honor is Ivy Aberdeen's Letter to the World by Ashley Herring Blake, which I recently talked about on this show.
Oh.
And then the two winners, one is a picture book and one is a middle grade chapter book. So the winner that's a chapter book is Hurricane Child by Karen Callender. And the picture book winner is Julian is a Mermaid by Jessica Love, which is a very beautiful book.
I might need to get that one. Yeah. I love me some mermaids. And the next one is the Theodore Seuss Giesel Award for the most distinguished book for beginning readers. There are four honors: Tiger vs. Nightmare by Emily Tetrie, King and Kyla and the Case of the Lost Tooth by Dory Hillstead Butler, Fox and Chick, The Party and Other Stories by Sergi Rouzier, The Adventures of Otto C. Pip Flap by David Milgram. Oh, and the winner is Fox the Tiger by Corey R. Tabor. There are two relating to foxes and two relating to tigers in this little section, which
yeah,
I find funny.
Yeah, popular creatures. Fox the Tiger looks really cute. I haven't read that one yet, but I love Tiger versus Nightmare and Fox and Chick, The Party and Other Stories. They're both really cute. They're both graphic novel early reader books that are funny, and Tiger versus Nightmare is sweet also. Well, they're both sweet. They're both sweet, and they're both funny, and they're both cute. It's a win-win-win. So the next category is the William C. Morris Award for a debut book published by a first-time author writing for teens. And this is a category where they announce the finalists farther in advance. Most of the awards, they just announce the winners the day of. Whereas this category, they announce the finalists and then they announce the winner on the day of the award ceremony. So the finalists that were not the ultimate winner were Bloodwater Paint by Joy McCullough, Check Please by Gozi Ukazu, Children of Blood and Bone by Tomi Adeyemi, and What the Night Sings by Vesper Stamper. Vesper Stamper is also coming to the book festival this year.
That's a cool name.
Yeah, that book sounds really good. And then the winner was Darius the Great is Not Okay by Adib Koram, which also sounds wonderful. I'm excited to read that one.
So the YALSA Award for Excellence in Nonfiction for Young Adults, where the winner was The Unwanted Stories of Syrian Refugees by Dawn Brown. We saw that one more other time on this list somewhere.
Yeah. And then there were a couple affiliate awards that were also announced today. One is the Asian Pacific Islander Award for Literature, and they had the picture book winner was Drawn Together by Min Lee, illustrated by Dan Sentat. The children's literature winner is Front Desk by Kelly Yang, and the young adult literature award winner was Darius the Great is Not Okay by Adib Koram.
Huh.
I've read the picture book, and I have the other two on my to-read list. They both sound excellent.
The other one is the Sydney Taylor Book Award for young readers. It's All of a Kind Family Hanukkah by Emily Jenkins, illustrated by Paul Zielinski. And for older readers, it's Sweep, the Story of a Girl and Her Monster by Jonathan Auxier. And teen readers, What the Night Sings by Vesper Stamper.
The last affiliate award that was announced today was the American Indian Youth Literature Award, which one was a picture book called Salmon Boy in English, and I don't know how to pronounce it.
That's a lot of letters that I don't know how to say.
I bet there's a pronunciation guide in the book, but I don't have the book in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
The middle school award went to Tales of the Mighty Code Talkers, Volume 1, and the young adult award went to Hashtag Not Your Princess, Voices of Native American Women, which is an excellent book. I highly suggest. It's like very...
Throwing some shade at Disney, I see. I approve. I approve of that.
Yeah. It's a really beautiful book, which has stories and poems and artwork celebrating Native American women and highlighting their voices and their struggles and their successes. And
that's awesome.
Fantastic.
That's awesome.
So yeah, those are the award winners for this year. I was very happy with the list. You can fill up your to-read list with some award winners.
Yeah.
Hooray.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. So we're just about out of time for today, but we hope everybody has a great week, reads lots of good books.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
Happy reading. Hey, it's Emily.
And Amelia.
From Bound by Books. And we're here to talk a little bit more about books with y'all.
Yep. Emily was kind enough to give me this last bit of time we have to gush about Wings of Fire, which I do often.
Mm-hmm.
I am on the 10th? 10th? There are 10.
Or 11.
There's 10 more. This would be the 12th. I'm on the 12th book of the entire series. Not counting digital books that apparently they have that I didn't know about.
Some digital content.
Like shorts.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Get your dragon fill.
Oh, I need my dragons in my life.
I know some people have listened to the show before and have heard you talk about Wings of Fire, but yes. For those that are listening for the first time or who forget what Wings of Fire is about, could you give them a sort of introduction to the series?
So in the very first book, there are 5 dragons who have been kept under a mountain their entire life and raised there because they're supposed to be sheltered and they're supposed to stop a civil war between one of the tribes of dragons known as the Sandwings that live in the desert. And so one day they break out and decide they're going to stop the war their way and not let the adult dragons tell them how to stop the war because they start to suspect some of their instructors have ulterior motives. And so they all escape. And they travel the dragon world, and it's cool. And that's basically the plot of the first book, without giving away too much.
Is the world that they take place in, because you said the dragon world, does it feel like it's set on planet Earth?
It feels like it's set on planet Earth, because there are humans there, but you'd have to read between the lines to figure out that the things they call scavengers actually are humans.
Mm.
I read a Q&A from the author that said, Toity Sutherland, and she said that the humans aren't aware of how intelligent the dragons are, and the dragons likewise aren't aware of how intelligent the humans are, but they live in the world.
That's cool. Yeah, I'm curious because dragons are generally very large. I don't know if any of the dragons in these stories are smaller, if you get a sense. Because I know there's different dragons that get introduced.
There's a scale guide somewhere in one of the books. I don't remember what it is, though. I know there's one very large dragon at one point, but that's because that one was alive for thousands of years, and that there's so much context you'd need. There are 12 books.
So if it feels like it takes place down on planet Earth because there's humans, does it feel like an alternative Earth where humans are at a different
Earth.
Level of development or
Definitely
earlier in time?
An alternative Earth.
Okay. And so the series progresses. Does it follow the same dragons?
No. After the first 10 books, it moves to a different set of main characters. And now there is another set of main characters that are from 3 tribes we have never seen before. They have 3 new tribes now in the new books.
Can you describe some of the tribes?
They're the Leafwings, the Silkwings, and the Hivewings are the new tribes, which are basically butterfly-like dragons are the Silkwings, wasp and bee-like dragons are the Hivewings, and the Leafwings, who they thought were extinct before this last book, used to live in trees all over their continent before the Hivewings took over and cut down the trees to get rid of them.
I find the series interesting, but I haven't dived in yet to try one out.
I managed to convince my mom to read the first 10.
Whoa.
The first five books, yeah.
What does she think? Does she like them?
I think she was unopinionated about
them. Okay. She doesn't have a passion for them as much as you do.
No.
But she was willing to read them, so they weren't.
They're
not. She doesn't dislike them.
Yeah. My little cousin is reading them, and he loves them.
I know they're very popular. I've read some books with dragons, and I always get really excited about the dragons, so I wonder if I would be into it. But I feel like most of the books that I read with dragons, the dragons are not the central characters. They're maybe important to the plot, but they're not
They're like
the main
animals.
Character. Yeah. Or they're used to kind of show you something about the human characters.
Yeah.
More than about them.
Yeah.
So I like the idea of Wings of Fire sort of having these dragons as
The characters.
Main characters, and the humans are the side
humans
things.
Are the animals.
Yeah. Have you read other dragon books that you've enjoyed?
There weren't dragons in Young Elites, but there were these things called Baliras, which I always imagined were dragons.
What were they like?
They were giant, floaty, glow-in-the-dark things that you could ride through the sky and under the water.
So dragons.
So I'm yeah, either that or giant manta rays, which is just as appealing in my mind.
That's cool,
but
too.
Giant flying manta rays would be really cool. But until we get a movie, I will never know if they are giant flying manta rays or dragons.
For Young Elites.
Yeah.
That would make a good movie.
It would.
Wings of Fire would be cool, too.
Yeah,
if it was animated.
It would be cool if it was animated.
Yeah, so if you want to check out the Wings of Fire series, I'm sure all of them are available through the library system.
Probably.
I don't know if we have all of them at our library, but we have a number of them.
Yeah.
And the graphic novel, too. There's a graphic novel.
It's so
good.
At
least one volume of it. I don't know if they've come out with
one. I don't know if they've come up with a second one yet. The first one was so good.
Someday. That's fun when they do that with stories sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's nice to just picture it yourself, but I like seeing how other people envision things.
I liked comparing what I imagined to the pictures. It was so pretty.
Yeah, like imagine the way that you, I forget what you said they were called, Baliras?
Baliras. Or something like that.
I'm curious how Marie Lu pictures them.
Yeah.
The author of Young Elites.
Marie Lu, come to our book festival, please.
Marie Lu, please come. Speaking of the book festival, with our award show talk earlier, there were a number of the authors that are already signed up to be coming to the book festival. So we hope everyone will save the date to come to the Hudson Children's Book Festival. It's going to be on Saturday, May 4th, 2019. And it's basically an all-day event. I think it runs like 10 to 3 or 10 to 4.
Yep.
And there's usually like 75, 80 authors and illustrators who create books for children and young adults. And they come and have an assortment of their books on display that can be purchased. You can ask them questions and talk with them and get their signature.
It's so cool.
And you have author visits during the school day, which is fun.
You can attempt to set a budget. It never works. I should know. I do it every year.
It's a challenge. Make sure you get a number of books that you can afford. And we do a radio show every year, the day before the book festival. We take over the afternoon show and interview authors and illustrators. So
it is so much fun.
Save the date for that Friday, too.
Mm-hmm.
So you can listen to Bound by Books with interviews from authors and illustrators.
Yep.
It's one of my favorite shows of the year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I love every Bound by Books episode, but that one's pretty fun.
That one's especially
fun. It's special.
Yeah.
So I think we're just about out of time for today, but we hope everyone has a great week.
Mm-hmm.
Reads lots of good books.
Happy reading.
Happy reading.
Bye.